Brother Mary and myself were saying, well, it's a series. All right. You know, when sometimes you start a particular study and you think that you'll be able to fit it in a particular window of time. But as you delve into the study of it, then you recognize that there is so much flesh, all right, on the bone, that it takes an extended time to share it. And so for the last few weeks, we have been looking at the great mystery of godliness. The great mystery of godliness. And we recognize from 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 that when we see the reference, as it is in verse 16 of 1 Timothy chapter 3, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness is all about Jesus Christ. That God was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit. He was seen of angels, preached unto the nations, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. And these are truly wonderful concepts. And our look at it provides a rich insight into the love that God has for us. And while we have not yet reached in our study believed on in the world, and we have touched on that the fact that he was received up in glory, because when we had studied and looked at the fact that he was seen of angels, one of the things that came up there is that the angels were an active part, not only in his life, his death, resurrection, but also in his ascension. And so we see that Jesus Christ was received up in glory just as he had prophesied concerning himself, that he would suffer and then enter into his glory. Luke chapter 24 and verse 26. And then we see in Mark chapter 16 and verse 19 that Christ was received up in heaven. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 2 that he was taken up. So we know that Jesus Christ was received up in glory, and that in itself gives us hope as Christians. You know, he had said that he is gone to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we can be there also. Today we want to focus our attention on the aspect of the mystery of godliness when Christ, or the writer Paul, says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And as he listed on and on, one of the things he said, preached unto the nations. Preached unto the nations. And that is in respect to the Gentiles. And if you get only this from the message, then you would have gotten enough, I believe, to have great rejoicing today. Because we can rejoice. Every one of us sitting here can rejoice because we are indeed that other nation. Jesus, God, heaven, for a long time did not treat with us as any special people. But thanks be to God, we Gentiles are now special in the sight of God. And that's going to be the essence of our lesson today, that Christ's redemptive system is universal. God's Christ, the Godhead, and the redemptive system is not specific to a nation, but is universal in its scope and in its spread. You know, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26 following tells us that we are no longer Jews and Gentiles. Can we have that read? Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. Read.
For as many of you as have been baptized in Christ have put on Christ.
So we are no longer seen as Jews and Greeks. But once we have accepted the Lord Jesus, then we are all one in Christ. You know, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 tells us that God, what? Sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And so we, in this passage, get the insight that at a particular time in time past, the way that God interacted and dealt with his people were different from what he does now. You know, he spoke unto the fathers, and so, you know, from the very onset of our interaction with God, man and God, we would recognize that, you know, God came into the garden, or an angel, and he spoke to Adam. You know, so he had a focus on the fathers of the family. We saw the interaction with Noah, where he came and he gave special instruction, but he dealt with a particular family. You know, we see Abraham, we see Isaac, we see Jacob, where he spoke to the fathers, where he gave instructions to them. And then as that lineage of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Jacob became Israel. And then we learn of the seven tribes of Israel. And then as time progressed, we recognize that he dealt not only with the fathers, but there was a transition where he started to deal with a special nation, the Israelites. And so for many years, decades, centuries, God dealt with the Jews different than that with other nations. So much so that if you recall the encounter that David had with Goliath, you know, it's almost like David despised this giant Philistine. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 36, I believe, you know, he said, you know, how can this uncircumcised Philistine come and want to defy the armies of the living God? And so we recognize that entrenched in the whole system of the Jews was that they were really special. And they were, because their association with God came out of that great promise that God made to Father Abraham. And so they recognized and knew that they were special. In fact, so special they were that a whole system, the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, and all of the system surrounding that guided that nation. And so if we look quickly at Deuteronomy chapter 5, we get a very good understanding of the fact that not only had God made a transition from talking and giving instructions to the fathers, but that he now had a special relationship and arrangement with the Israelites, the Jews. And so in verse 1 of Deuteronomy chapter 5, and I think the lesson is being recorded, so the reader would do well to have the mic. So in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 1, and Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us who are all of us here alive this day. And so we want to recognize that coming up through history, that God spoke and always had a relationship with his people. But at this juncture, many years and decades into God's dealing with man, he made a special arrangement with these people, the Jews, the Israelites. And he's saying to Moses and to the Israelites, today marks a new beginning because I am making a covenant. I am making an agreement. I am establishing statutes and judgments as of now. And this is going to be hinged on a specific thing that I'm coming to. But he highlights in verse 3, the Lord made not this covenant with our fathers. So what is being established at this point in history, even though God normally speaks to his people through the fathers, what we are being told is that all the interaction that I would have been doing before this point, you know, you sojourning through, you know, having gone through Egypt and going through Mount Sinai, that up to this point, I had made no such arrangement with anybody else. And he says, the Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us who are all of us here alive this day. And so we recognize that something new and different was born. Something new and different was on the horizon. And it goes on to tell us in verse number 6, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And so this special arrangement with the Jews and giving them the law, including the Sabbath, was tied to them being led out of the land of Egypt. In verse 15 it says, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Don't miss it. Because you were a servant in the land of Egypt. And because I, through a stretched out arm, that's the arm of Moses, because when they were being pursued by the army of Egypt and Pharaoh, their back was really against the wall, but Moses was able to stretch his hand, his rod, and departed that Red Sea, and they were able to go through. And he's saying, hinged in this, rooted in this, remember now to keep the Sabbath day. Therefore, for this reason, I, the Lord thy God, command thee to keep the Sabbath day. And so the whole system of the Jews were hinged in this. You know, after verse 15, it goes on to tell us what were the commandments. You know, and it goes on, honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Don't commit adultery. Do not steal. And it went on through the Ten Commandments. But what is the point I'm making? The point I'm making right now is that God, for a long time, had a special arrangement, had a special relationship with the children of Israel. For a long time, there was something real special about being a Jew. For a long time, if you were going to have a relationship with Almighty God, then you had to be a Jew. Then, Brother Webb, I thought you were continuing the lesson on the mystery of godliness. Yeah, that's where I still am. And we are really on the point that one of the points in the mystery of godliness is that Jesus Christ preached, or that the gospel was preached or is preached unto the nations, including the Gentiles. I want to make 4 points in the lesson today, and the lesson will be yours. We would have been hopeless, really, because all the grand plans, all the great hope that we have of pleasing God would be to naught if that special relationship was maintained with the Jews only. It's almost a wicked fight, you know, to say, let us not have the whole system changed. You know, because all of us here on this hemisphere, this side of the world, would be in dire trouble. Because, in fact, there are certain things about the law and the Jewish system that cannot be maintained in a universal fashion. You know, even this thing where, okay, I'm on this time zone and you're on that time zone, and, you know, sometimes there's a big deal made about Saturday, when in reality, what God really established was not so much a Saturday reckoned by man's time, but he recognized sunrise to sunset. And so in some countries, it's actually impossible for you to keep the Sabbath. Because in some countries, sometimes it takes days to see a sunrise and a sunset. What a long Sabbath. But let me hasten on to the points I really want to make. So what we would have done so far would have just introduced the concept that God for a long time dealt with the Jews in a special way. God did not deal with us. God did not deal with non-Jews. And guess what? We are all here as non-Jews. All of us here. I'm here to tell us that when Paul in 1 Timothy tells us that he preached unto the nations, and that was a part of the mystery of godliness, this was something that was predicted from of old. So we are going to see here that this preaching to other nations, or to all nations and to the Gentiles, was something predicted. This was something predicted. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. Read for me, please. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. So it was no accident. It was no accident that at this point we are being told that preaching to the Gentiles was a part of the mystery of godliness, because it was a part of God's plan for a very long time. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2.
And it shall come to pass.
And it shall come to pass.
In the last days.
In the last days.
That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains.
Yes.
And shall be exalted above the hills. And all nations shall flow unto it.
And all nations shall flow unto it. And so, from long ago, from the days of Isaiah the prophet, there was a hint at this mystery that is now revealed, that in the last days, and we are now in the last days, that there's going to come a time when the church will be established on the top of the mountains, yes, in Jerusalem, and all nations shall flow unto it. So we recognize that even from of old, and in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 10, we don't have to read that. We also get that picture that from the four corners of the world, for all nations will come into the kingdom of God. So we recognize, one, that preaching unto the nations was predicted by the prophets. Not only was it that there was a prediction, but we also see that in Christ's ministry, we got a preview. We got a preview of the fact that other nations would participate in the salvation, the special arrangement with Almighty God. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 15 following, we will see this demonstrated. Can we have that? Verse 15 following.
The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali.
Yes.
By the way of the sea beyond Jordan.
Yes.
Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light.
Yes.
And to them which sat in the region and shadows of death, light is sprung up.
Read.
From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say,
Repent. So from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say,
Repent.
Repent.
For the kingdom of heaven.
For the kingdom of heaven
is at hand.
Is at hand. Read.
And Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee,
yes,
saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.
All right, so here we see that Jesus Christ was preaching and teaching. But let's not miss. Let's just step up back to verse 15. Because if we are not careful, we miss it.
The land of Zebulun.
The land of Zebulun.
And the land of Naphtali.
Naphtali.
By the way of the sea.
By the way of the sea.
Beyond Jordan.
Beyond Jordan.
Galilee.
So beyond Jordan. Read.
Galilee of the Gentiles.
Galilee of the Gentiles. So what we are seeing here is that while Jesus was here, he went and he spoke and he taught to the Gentiles. So not only was it predicted that the Gentiles would become part of the fold, be a part of the kingdom, be a part of the church, but we see that even while Jesus was here, born as a Jew and lived among the Jews, that the Gentiles too, he preached to. Step down to verse 23, same Matthew chapter 4.
And Jesus went about all Galilee.
And he went about all Galilee.
Teaching in their synagogues.
So notice Galilee, all right? Teaching in their synagogues.
In their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom.
Yes, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So even from here, the Gentiles were getting exposed to the gospel of the kingdom referring to the church. Read.
And healing all manner of sicknesses.
And healing all manner of sicknesses.
And all manner of disease.
And all manner of diseases.
Among the people.
Among the people. Read.
And his fame went throughout all
and
Syria.
And his fame went throughout all Syria.
And they brought unto him all sick people.
Don't miss it again. He reached Syria. So he was again touching on the Gentiles. So while a special relationship existed with the Jews, while Christ was here, he started to indicate that his kingdom would consist not only of the Jews, but also of the Gentiles. This has significant importance for us because we can be and are a part of the church. We are a part of the kingdom because God is no longer seeing Jews and Greeks, Jews and Gentiles. And from his ministry here on earth, he started to give us an insight. It was not fully revealed. It was a mystery. Predicted, yes. We got a preview, yes. But this mystery of godliness, that Christ was here not just for the Jews, but for Jamaicans. He's not here only for the circumcised, but us uncircumcised. Jesus Christ has indeed provided revelation. Revelation of the mystery of godliness. In Matthew chapter 8, we also get a type of insight. But all right, before we jump to Matthew 8, because you know there are some interesting things here, and you're still at Matthew chapter 4. I think you're at verse 24. Mm-hmm. And it says that his fame went throughout all Syria.
Yes.
That's a Gentile nation.
And they brought unto him.
And they brought unto him.
All sick people.
All sick people.
That were taken in diverse diseases.
You see, so what would have been happening, you know, is that Christ would have been demonstrating that he is the Son of God. He was special. And he would have been healing and he would have been around his people, the Jews. But here we recognize that he healed not only the Jews, but also the Gentiles. And they brought with him all sick people
that
were taken
with diverse diseases
with
and torments.
Diverse diseases
and torments.
And torments.
And those that were possessed with devils.
And those that were possessed with devils.
And those which were lunatic.
And those which were lunatic.
And those that had the palsy.
And those that had the palsy.
And he healed them.
And he healed them. You know, this gives us a little assurance, you know, brethren. Because we don't all have the same issues, do we? Well, one thing is sure, you know, we are all in some way sick. We are all in need of the healing of Jesus Christ. I might not be having an issue with a disease, but I might be feeling severe pain. What is your ailment? Some of us are in peach of our health physically, you know, but how the King James put it, some persons were lunatic, you know. And if we listen to our media, you know, well, before COVID, you know, I think it was a big thing. I don't know if they have stopped it, you know, but I don't think I've heard it as much, you know, this whole emphasis on depression, you know, and we must not stigmatize depression because it's real. And it is real. And so some of us are really challenged mentally, and we really need to recognize that is a true illness. That coming to God, coming to Christ, can help us. And so, what is your challenge might not be my challenge. For some of us, we are going to be suffering pain and anguish. Some of us is like we are demon possessed. You know, we are challenged in different ways. Persons that came to Christ were paralyzed. But here's one thing we are told. Coming to Jesus Christ resulted in them being healed. And while we don't have Jesus Christ with us today, and we are not inviting persons to come step forward and brother, we're going to touch them head and they get healed so that the cripples start to walk. But what we know assuredly and surely is that Jesus Christ has the ability to heal us. Jesus Christ can save us. In fact, there's one illness that all of us suffer from, sin. And that is our greatest ailment of all. What did Romans 3 tell us, 23? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us. There's not one person sitting here who can say, I have not sinned. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I'm here to say that Christ is able to help us. Christ is able to heal us from all types of ailment, including the disease of sin. What is your challenge? That may not be my challenge, but we can take it to Christ, and he's able to help us. He is. Not only is it that Christ is able to help, but he wants us to help. And if we look back at the verse, you guys see that verse 24, brother? Start and reading from verse 24.
And his fame went throughout all Syria.
The same went throughout all Syria. Or his fame. His fame went?
Went throughout all
his
Syria.
His fame went throughout all Syria.
And they brought unto him.
Stop. I'm going slow on this because I want us all to get it. Christ's fame went throughout all Syria. We have been exposed to the gospel of Christ. We would have been exposed to the mystery of godliness. We would have learned that God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels. We would have been exposed to the fact that the gospel is preached not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. Who have we told? Is Jesus Christ famed? Are we spreading the news of Jesus Christ? Here we are told that because there was a recognition that Jesus heals, that Jesus can address our various ailments. In whatever form it takes, persons got active. It was not sufficient that they knew, but the news was spread. The passage says, and his fame went throughout all Syria. Students, your Syria is school. Christian students, your Syria is school. If you believe that Jesus Christ can heal, can save, then you need to be spreading this truth to your schoolmates. Adults, workers, your Syria is work. Somebody say, well, I don't have no work and I don't go to school. All right. You must live somewhere. Brethren, our Syria is our neighborhood. It is our responsibility to share the good news that Jesus Christ can heal diverse challenges, including the challenge of sin. And just like we see recorded here in Matthew 24, that when there was a recognition of God's ability, of Christ's ability, and what he can do, that his fame went throughout all Syria. I'm saying to us, we need to take the gospel to our Syria. We need to take it with us wherever we go. If you are in the audience and you are not a child of God as yet, but you have took it upon yourself in the midst of COVID, to find yourself in the house of God to worship Him, you need to accept the gospel. What is your challenge? Well, I'm in good health. But you still have a challenge. I want to say to you, bring your challenge to Jesus. He can heal. And you're saying, well, I can't think of anything. You know, the fact that God would have sent His Son and you have not accepted Him would have been enough for you to recognize that you have a disease. You have a shortcoming. You have a wanting. And I'm saying to us today, let us bring it to Jesus Christ. But Christians, it is important for us to do personal evangelism. At work, at school, in our neighborhood, those we associate with as we go along our life's journey. You see, in this COVID climate, we have an opportunity because everybody realizes that they are at risk of a disease. They are in want and in need of something. And we have the unique opportunity to say, let us cast our cares on Jesus. You know, not only is God able, but He cares. And so it makes sense to cast all our cares upon Him. But I don't want us to miss the point, even though I went there. Jesus Christ went to the Gentiles. He went to other nations. So we got not just the prediction from the prophets, but we got a preview from Jesus Christ. Not only was preaching to other nations predicted, not only did we get a preview into preaching the word of God to other nations, but it was announced in the Great Commission. It was announced in the Great Commission. And last week we went to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, where, you know, Christ, you know, gave the instructions to go, teach, baptize. Yeah, but it's not only that account that we see the Great Commission at work. You know, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, we are told again of the Great Commission. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15.
And he said to them, go ye into all the world.
Go ye into all the world. I'm still on the point that as Christians, we have a responsibility to go. We have a responsibility to evangelize. And this is confirmed in the announcement of the Great Commission. Start Mark for me again.
And he said to them, go ye into all the world.
Go ye into all the world.
And preach the gospel. To every creature.
To every creature. Stop. Go ye where there are Jews. Go ye where there are descendants of Jacob. Go ye to those circumcised. Go ye into all the world. And that's where we are going to teach the gospel. So anywhere we go, you know, we can't really go much places these days, right? Well, I think they say we can't leave the island. But if you leave, you can't come back right now. We don't know when you can come back yet. All right. But anywhere we go, we can teach the gospel. You know, one of the things that this COVID thing has also shown us is, and we have been utilizing it for some time, you know, the internet and so forth, where we can share truth. You know, for many years we would have had our lessons on our website and wherever in the world people can access it and things like that. But it has sort of come home forcefully, you know, that you know you can readily invite a person to share in a lesson. You know, it can be recorded, you can invite, and you know, I think we probably have to make some case probably to Facebook and those places to probably change it from party. You know, but a popular thing that I definitely wasn't exposed to it before a few months ago. You know, watch party. You know, you can create a watch party. All right, I would like a more generic name, you know, but for what it's worth. But you can online be just inviting persons to come and watch what you are watching and seeing, and you have your own little setup, all right? And other persons can just share in it. And so that we share this worship session, other persons can tune in. And there are many facets. So it becomes easy or easier for us to share the gospel across the whole world. But here we are being told in the Great Commission that it is not just a Jew thing, it is to all nations. All nations. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 47, we are again told that we should go and preach the gospel. Luke chapter 24 and verse 47.
And that repentance and remission of sins.
And that repentance
and remission of sins.
And remission of sins
should be preached in his name.
Should be preached in his name.
Among all nations.
Among most nations.
All nations.
Among all nations. And so this is a great commission that we should preach the gospel to everyone. But not only is it that it was predicted, previewed, announced, but we see that it was implemented. So the gospel preached to all nations was implemented. So, you know, Christ gave the Great Commission. Go, all world, all nations. But we see through the apostles and preachers and teachers, Christians, you know, accounted over and over in Acts, the book of Acts, that preaching to all nations, preaching to persons like you and me, became a reality. And we are here beneficiaries of the mystery of godliness. We are here beneficiaries because persons went ahead and shared the gospel to us. As I bring the lesson to a close, I want to look at one case. The case in Acts chapter 8 with Philip. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, we are told that Philip, a preacher, a teacher, went afar. When you reach there, you can start reading.
And Philip went down to the city of Samaria.
He went to the city of Samaria.
And preached Christ unto them.
Okay. So I want us to recognize, don't miss the point. Samaria and the Samaritans were really not Jews. Yeah? And so he went to the city of Samaria. Read.
And preached Christ unto them.
And he preached Christ unto them.
And the people with one accord.
And the people with one accord.
Gave heed unto those things which Philip spake.
All right, jump down to verse 12.
When
they believed Philip preaching the things concerning
the
kingdom of God
and the name of Jesus Christ.
I want us to realize, you know, that when we were introduced to Philip preaching, that it said in verse 5 that he preached Christ. Mm-hmm. He preached Christ. And then in verse 12, we see that when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, read.
And the name of Jesus Christ.
And the name of Jesus Christ.
They were baptized.
They were baptized.
Both men and women.
Both men and women. And so, when we preach Christ, it's not just the truth about Christ. Mm-hmm. The fact that he came to earth and he died and he was resurrected. And that he's ascended. Yeah, those are our truth about Christ. But when we preach Christ, we also preach about his kingdom. And so we are saying to you today that if you are going to hold on to Christ, then you must be a part of his kingdom. If you are going to truly embrace the mystery of godliness, which is about Christ, then you must accept that Jesus Christ has a kingdom. He has a church, the church of Christ. But not only is it that when we embrace Christ, that we embrace the kingdom and the church, but also the entrance of the kingdom. Read verse 12 for me again.
But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of Christ and the name of Jesus Christ
and the name of his authority,
they were baptized.
They were baptized,
both men and women.
Both men and women. When we preach Christ, we preach his kingdom. We preach how you get into his kingdom. You know, in verse 35, as the case progressed, you know, this was sort of another encounter where Philip again was preaching about Christ. And when he opened his mouth and he preached unto the prospective Christian, mm-hmm. he preached unto him
Jesus.
Read that for me, brother.
Then Philip
opened his mouth
and began at the same scripture and preached unto him
Jesus. It's like this is a common theme with Philip, not true. Here he was in Samaria, then this Ethiopian man traveling far. And in both situations, well, in one case, the scripture says he taught Christ. To the Ethiopian eunuch, he preached Jesus. But I want us to listen and recognize what happened after. Read.
And as they went on their way.
And remember, you know, he preached Jesus. He preached Christ. And when they went on their way,
they came unto a certain water.
And the eunuch said, And the eunuch said,
See, here is water.
Here is water.
What doth hinder me to be baptized?
What is going to stop me from being baptized? When we preach Jesus Christ, we are going to preach about his kingdom, and we are going to preach about how we get into his kingdom.
Amen.
We cannot preach Jesus Christ. We cannot say that we are embracing and holding on to Jesus Christ and reject baptism. Because it is in baptism that we get into Christ. And so today, if you are hearing my voice, if today you are listening, you are sitting here, and you have not obeyed Jesus Christ, you have not yet been baptized, then I, pulling away this curtain, and telling you that there is water here, you should be saying, what is stopping me from being baptized? And I would say, like Philip, nothing really stopping you. What you need to do is to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So if you have really made a change and a decision called repentance, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and willing to hold him up, having heard the mystery of godliness, you can be baptized. You can be immersed so that you can rise to a new life in Jesus Christ. So what have we seen? In the mystery of godliness, in the great mystery of godliness, it is now revealed that salvation, having a special relationship with God, you don't have to be a Jew. But as a Gentile country, as a non-Jew, we too can be a part of God's family. We can be a part of the kingdom, the church that Christ built. That is great jubilation. Something to be happy about. And you can embrace that today. And as Christians, having been a part of that, we have a responsibility to go to our Syria, to go to our world, wherever it is, our span of influence, to tell persons of the good news of Jesus Christ. The word of God, the gospel, is preached unto the nations, even to us here in Jamaica. The lesson is yours. We invite the song leader to come with a song of invitation, a song of encouragement. We invite him to come.
227.
Please stand.